it's a nice foundation to start off with. If you're good on defense, you're good in the kicking game, and I think we're going to be able to be a pretty good offensive team. You have reason for optimism, you know, provided you can stay healthy.
Chris Wynn's got 5 interceptions each of the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. First one to do that in a really long time. He's on pace to break some records this year. Mm-hmm. You've been here for a really long time. How does Wynn compare to all the great defensive backs you've had in your time here?
I mean, he stacks up very well. You got to go back to probably, you know, Duval Thompson. You know, was the last guy that had all of his athletic strengths. I mean, Chris is exceptionally fast. You just see him on the kickoff returns.
Yeah.
You know, how dynamic he is with the ball in his hand. I mean, just, he is a special athlete. You know, just like Duval was a special athlete. So, you know, we're going to have to find ways to get the ball in his hands a little bit. So, you know, hopefully he'll be in some kind of return game, both punt and kickoff. But he's a kid that we have confidence in, can go out there. If we have to line up 50 snaps of man-to-man, you know, I think he can hold up through 50 snaps of man-to-man and really do and acquit himself pretty well.
Now, being back at Kiva for a minute, just what are the qualities that make him such a competitor? Because he seemed like he was so competitive last year when you put him in there. And you said, like, worried about him getting hurt, but he doesn't seem like he's worried about getting hurt.
Yeah, we can't change who he is. And really what makes him special is just the way he plays. He has a terrific demeanor. Kids have tremendous confidence in him because, you know, the kid carries himself so well. He's got so much self-confidence without coming off as being cocky. He's got a great personality, so people kind of gravitate to him. And he's got some of those instinctive leadership qualities that you want, that competitive people have. So, you know, so much a quarterback is how you carry yourself and how your teammates view you in critical situations. They want to see a guy who's pretty steady, who's pretty confident, you know, who can command their respect. And I think he's able to do all that.
It's like the fourth quarter against Harvard, and he was driving down the field.
I mean, kids had every confidence that even though it's only his second start, you know, he was going to find some way, somehow to do it. So, you know, we've really have been fortunate to kind of uncover a diamond in the rough through, you know, some tragedy with the other two kids. But, you know, sometimes that happens. So, you know, he was given his opportunities and, you know, took off and ran with it. And to his credit, this was game 7. When he got a chance to play, but he really paid attention all through preseason, all through the first 6 games. So when he went in there, he might have not had a tremendous amount of reps during practice, but he mentally knew everything that was going on and what we were trying to do and how to do it. And, you know, to his credit, he executed pretty well.
What's your biggest question coming in, and have you started to get that answer?
I mean, right on offense, I mean, you have different questions in different areas. On offense, it's, you know, the offensive line, making sure that, you know, we have a couple of young tackles that we think have a chance to be really good, but, you know, they haven't done it yet. Chris Cavalter graduated. Drew Luongo is underwent surgery, won't be ready, so they're actually going to redshirt him. Those are the 2 starting tackles. So that's a concern, you know, because you get so much edge pressure now and everything else, especially with this kind of offense. So hopefully they'll do well. On the kick game side, you know, Kyle Olsen was a pretty effective punter. He's coming off a major knee surgery. It looks like he'll be okay, but that's a concern. I think we're okay with Andrew. And then on defense, you know, we have playmakers, but we don't have a tremendous amount of depth in some positions. So especially up front, it's down position. So we have to keep Joe Ganapau healthy. You know, hopefully he can continue to do the things he's been doing, and then some of the young guys have got to take that next step. Those would be the 3 big areas that we're concerned about.
You've got a young player that steps into college football, this level of football, regardless of the position he's playing. What's the adjustment like if he's somebody either coming in from high school or somebody who hasn't played a lot and all of a sudden he's being counted on?
It's a lot harder coming in from high school. You know, that's the reason why 90% of the people who have opportunities, redshirt people. You know, it's a huge adjustment, no matter how talented you are, because for most of these kids, it's a personal transition from the home front now to a different place. Then you have the football transition where they went from being at the very top of their game and all of a sudden they have to start at the very bottom. And then just, you know, the pace of practice and everything else. You know, so they not only have to get used to a whole different language of terminology, but the college pace of practice is radically different than high school. And, you know, the kids are all like, you know, what just hit me? You know, because there's not a down minute in this whole thing. So they go through major, major adjustment. It's not quite as difficult for a kid who's already experienced it for 1 year, because you've had him during the fall, you've had him in spring practice, he's been here over the summer, that kid at least understands the pace of practice. He understands the balancing of academics here. You know, so you've got a much better chance for a freshman going into a sophomore year to hold up reasonably well than you do a true freshman.
Do you have to battle the kids getting antsy? They watch everybody else play in two, three games.
Yeah, I mean, this is a difficult league to be part of from that perspective, because on Thursday, you know, Villanova and Temple open up, and you know, we'll be like in practice 12 or something, you know, which is not even halfway through the allowable practices that the NCAA gives you. You know, so all of their friends going back to early August, you know, have all left. You know, so thank God they come back to our campus, so at least they can be around, you know, the football people. But it's a very difficult scenario for them, you know, because we're so much out of the mainstream of where everybody else is. It's tough, and it's, you know, early on in the season, it impacts you, because when you look at it, our opener's Villanova. It's not only going to be their third game, but when you add up the amount of practices they've had, the 29 in preseason and then 3 weeks of practice to get, you know, they're considerably ahead. You know, they're over 12 practices, you know, more than we've had a chance. So it kind of puts you in a very, very unique situation. So, you know, some obstacles you have to overcome early.
Can you talk about Kiefer's progression so far in practice? I remember, especially as regards him as the passer, remember last year you took him out on third down sometimes on a third and long when you had to really get the ball down the field. Is he going to have the license to open up this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be part of your game, because, you know, you can't expect a kid to always sprint and bootleg, and you don't want him to take needless hits outside. But he's done a much better job, but it's just not going to be as big a part of the game. I mean, if you had Robert Irvin in quarterback, he's not really effective on the perimeter, so you got to spend all your time at play action in between the tackles, drop back. Kiefer's a threat out there and presents some problems that are, you know, unique, you know, to what we've had in the past. So, you know, we've got to be able to make sure he's comfortable and at the same time make sure that he can do some of the drop back stuff that we ask him to do, because when you get in 2 minute situations, you know, and you're in a hurry up mode, you know, virtually every play has to come from the pocket. I mean, it's really hard to get outside, and it's really hard to run bootlegs, you know, when you're trying to play catch up.
I know it's been 6 years since you guys last won the league. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying you guys could really win it this year. How much work is it going to be for you to prepare these guys psychologically to get over that hump at the end of the season, which they haven't gotten quite to before?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's all part of the progression. It's a learning curve of, you know, how do you win big games? How do you prepare for big games? You know, it's an educational process. And so hopefully we've learned. You know, we had every chance last year to win it and couldn't quite get it done, and hopefully we can carry those lessons over and, you know, maybe take that next step, you know. And we also as coaches understand that, you know, it's not a friendly away and home schedule. You know, you've got three major trips that you have to take all in the same year, so that presents some obstacles. And, you know, you're always a victim of, you know, the graces of injury. You know, I mean, the wrong kids get hurt, you're a dramatically different team. And that goes for not just Penn, but that goes for every other team. So, you know, there's a combination of getting the kids prepared, and it's also a combination of having a little bit of luck with everything. But our kids have prepared well and have given themselves an opportunity that if they play well, they should be in the thick of things.
Coach, how challenging is it going to be to open against Villanova from the ranked fifth in the preseason poll? And
yeah, I mean,
as you said, they'll have a couple games.
I could think of easier games to open up with. You know,
even easier Villanova teams to open up with.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, I mean, it's challenging. I mean, they're a really good program. It seems like they've had a resurgence in the last 3 or 4 years, and they just, you know, continue to add parts to an already impressive program. So obviously it's not your ideal opener, and it gets further compounded that you're not on equal footing. You know, so it's one thing to play them when it's our third game and it's their third game, or it's our first game and their first game. You know, it gets tilted a little bit more when it's their third and our first. So, you know, you can't control it. It is what it is. Our kids will show up and they'll battle, and, you know, they're certainly not afraid to play them.
Sure.
We just have to battle.
And do you have some confidence from last year's game where you took them to overtime into the fumble?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, I mean, we're the last probably five out of six years.
Yeah.
Short of you know, self-destructing at their place, whenever that was. I mean, they've all come down to the last minute, last series, last snap. overtime. You know, so our kids certainly aren't intimidated by him by any stretch.
Sure.
You know, but like any other really good program, they show tremendous regard for him and tremendous respect for him, which they should. Which they should, because that team, athletically, you know, will stretch you to the very limits. So that's, you know, at least we leave that game and we say, hey, I think if we can hold up in that game, then we probably can hold up in most of the games we're playing.
Sure. Just one more question for me. Of course, the Ivy League, that's your goal to win it. So, you know, you mentioned earlier playing on the road, some of the biggest games. So what do you see the big games being? Sure, Harvard, Brown.
I think you got to start off with, you know, the guys that shared the championship. I mean, until someone dethrones them, they should be the favorites. You know, so those obviously are two big games. But I think this league, you know, doesn't allow you to have too many off weeks because your margin of error is just so slim. You know, it's not like you can lose two games and never think you have a chance to win a championship. And that's the problem. So you just cannot afford to have any off weeks and still think that you have a realistic chance because the margin of error is so slim.